thought we would kind of pause on our studies in Proverbs and look at something fitting to the week and the date in 2 days, Thanksgiving and the celebration of it. So I'd like you to turn in the New Testament to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. This section that's toward the end of the chapter is familiar to many of us. There's a lot of verses that get quoted and referred to quite often in this latter section of chapter 5. Especially husbands like to quote verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. That's a life verse for most husbands. And they like to quote that one. But the verse before that says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So that one kind of gets skipped over sometimes. But what I want us to zero in obviously, is verse 20, giving thanks. So let me read, and you follow along in your copy of the Scripture, beginning in verse 17 down through 21. Paul says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We ask the Lord to bless the word to us tonight. Verse 20 gives us briefly just four things that we need to consider about being thankful. Let me go ahead and say, and I'll say it again before we wind up here. When you look at the context here where Paul says that we're to know what the will of the Lord is, verse 17, and the will of the Lord is, verse 18, being filled with the Spirit. And of course, you've probably heard it said before, quoted by preachers or referred to by preachers, that construction in the Greek language denotes continuous action. We could understand it to be meaning be being continually filled with the Spirit. So what I would say to you as we begin is that being thankful and giving thanks is not simply something that God requires and expects. It's not simply something that we owe to Him, and it's not simply something that makes us feel better when we do it, but it actually is an indicator of whether or not we are Spirit-filled. Because that's the context. So it's telling us that if you're Spirit-filled, then you will be giving thanks to the Lord. So let's think about that for a few moments then. First of all, the subject of what we're to do is very clear, obviously, giving thanks. But I want us to think about it just for a moment. Saying thank you, Lord, for many different things is good and should be done. Sometimes giving of thanks needs more to it than simply saying it to God. What I mean by that is expressing it in some way. So what I'm thinking about is one way we can do that is if we are thankful for any material blessings we have, and we should be for all of them, but if something specifically is on our hearts, it comes before our minds, then wouldn't it be good if we look for a way to maybe bless someone else in a similar fashion, if we can? It may not be the exact same thing, but if we've received something from the Lord, then it would be good for us to look to an opportunity to pass some kind of blessing onto someone else. See, that would be a way of giving thanks to the Lord that would really honor Him. And so I want us to think of that more than, not to exclude saying thank you, Lord, we're supposed to, but look at it being opened up into more avenues and more ways to express that thankfulness. Giving thanks can be done in a lot of different ways, and we ought to ask God to help us see ways that we can express our gratitude to Him in addition to saying it and praying it. And I think that's certainly in line with all that Paul is saying right here. Okay? So the subject then is giving thanks. Now, we already know this, but we still need to cover it. The season of giving thanks. Giving thanks, what's the next word in verse 20? Always. Giving thanks, always. Not just the fourth Thursday in November, right? Not just the month of November. Not just a few times throughout the year as it comes to our mind. Giving thanks always. Now, Brother Barney Bryant helped me out with this several years ago, and y'all have heard him refer to it, I know, in his preaching, but it's an important distinction. In the New Testament, in the King James Version, we have, first of all, the word that occurs like here, always. Then we have, in some instances, the word alway, without the S. Now, that's not simply that they just forgot the S or whatever, or it was just an archaic way to say it. It is an archaic way. We don't say, I look for this to happen alway. We don't talk that way today. But it's important to understand that when the word alway occurs, it usually means never stopping, without ceasing. That's why Jesus said, as he gave what we call the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, what did he say? And lo, I am with you alway. Not always. Because always can come and go. Now, that helps us here to know that the Bible is not telling us, you better never let a second go by that you're not expressing thanks to God. That'd be a tall order, wouldn't it? But it says always be doing it in order to emphasize that there's not a particular time that we can look toward and say, well, that's the time to be thankful. Or this is the way I should do this and then I'm in good shape. But always be looking for opportunities to thank the Lord. That's the season of Thanksgiving. It's really unending. It's always. And the more we are thankful the rest of the year, it gives more meaning to this time of year. And when people who don't know the Lord still in their own way try to celebrate Thanksgiving, and their thankfulness is not usually directed to the Lord, they're just thankful, they're just, well, and I don't know to who or to ascribe that. Most of the time, what, it's good luck or whatever they might say. They're thankful they've got food on their table and those kind of things. But if we live in an ongoing attitude of thanksgiving before unbelievers, that will be a great witness to them to let them know that what thanksgiving, if they look at just this one day out of the year, is about is much more than simply having food on the table. It's much more than that. It's a way of life. It's a lifestyle. And so that's why Paul says, giving thanks always. That's the season. Now let's look over in Philippians just a second. Philippians 4. Some of you are going to know where we're going here. I know you're going to realize what I'm going to read. Chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God shall guard your heart and mind. It goes on. Now, down in verses 11 through 13, which is the part of the chapter where Paul talks about how he's learned to be content, all that is based on what he says in verse 6. He's learned to be content because he is anxious for nothing. He's careful about nothing. That means he doesn't worry. He's careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, he lets his requests be made known to God. That's how he's content in all his circumstances, because the peace of God reigns in his heart and mind. That's what God would have for all of us. That's what he intends for each and every one of his children to have, is that continuing sense of peace based on the gratitude we express to the Lord. And that's based on the fact that we don't need to be anxious about anything. A pretty good paraphrase of verse 6 would be, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. That'd be a pretty good paraphrase of it. Because here's what I can guarantee you, folks, and most of you already realize this. The very thing that you don't pray enough about, you're going to worry about. But if you pray enough about it, you're a lot less likely to worry about it. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. And then in that praying about everything, be always continually expressing thanksgiving to the Lord. Okay? That's the season. Always. All right, and then back to Ephesians 5:20. What is the scope, or what is the whole category of thankfulness? He says, giving thanks always. For what? All things. Giving thanks always for all things. Now, the companion verse to that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, where Paul says there, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So we have, be thankful for everything, and in everything give thanks. What that means is that we must look for, in even the most difficult circumstances as a believer, the most trying times, the most sorrowful times, the most painful times, we must look for that which we can still bless God's name for that which we can still offer thanks to Him, because He's worthy of that. And the genuine Christian will be able to find, it may take a little time, but they will be able to find something in the worst trial to give God thanks for. And that is what we need to aim at. And that's how we begin to fulfill that. Now, obviously, and it seems like not even any point to say this because it's so ridiculous, but obviously God is not saying, okay, here's how I want you to be. You get a phone call and the doctor says you've had a relative die. You didn't even weren't expecting. You're supposed to put the phone down and say, well, glory, hallelujah, thank you for that blessing. He's not expecting us to say that or act that way. That's not what it means. When it says giving thanks for all things and in everything give thanks, as I said, it means in the midst of something shocking like that, painful, sorrowful, look for what you can thank God for in that. Jolene's mom is a wonderful example of that. All the praise goes to the Lord, and she says that continually. But when Jolene's dad went on to be with the Lord, and from that point on, she's been continuing to say, I'm thankful to God for taking him on. I'm thankful that he's where he's supposed to be. And she means it. She's not just saying that for it to sound good. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. And again, that's not always as easily done as it is said. I understand that. I've been there too. Don't think I hadn't. I've been in those situations where I knew I ought to look for a way to thank God for something, but I had a hard time finding it. I mean, it's just, we just are there sometimes. That's why we just have to beg God. God, I know your word says all things work together for good to them that love you, who are called according to your purpose. So there's some good in this. I'm just not seeing it. I need to see a little glimmer of it at least so that I can have some peace and I can give you praise. And God will be faithful to do that. It might not happen like flipping on a light switch, but God will do that in His time and His way. So the scope of what we're to be thankful for is all things that come upon us. For after all, again, if Romans 8:28 is true, and it is, then there is absolutely nothing that comes into the life of the believer that God has not ordained ultimately for their good and for His glory. That's just the way God operates with us. We don't ever have to fear that God just kind of lets something slip by and say, oh wow, that's going to hit them. Oh, well, I'll just let that go on and happen. No. Everything in our lives has a divine purpose. And those things that are most difficult to us wind up working usually the most good in us. Some of you walk with the Lord long enough, you know that. You can look back at some of those painful times and say, I didn't think I was going to be able to make it. I didn't think I could catch a breath. But after I came out and could look back and say, praise God, look what He did in that, you see. And that's the way God works. God always does that. He continues to give us the things that we need the most. And y'all have heard me say this before through the years. You're going to hear it a lot more now because I'm around here all the time. And it is this, that those things in Romans chapter 8 that Paul says cannot separate us from the love of Christ, they are the very things that he's going to put in my life and yours to make us like Christ. You see, that's where the encouragement comes, because, again, if Paul said, now, death nor life nor principalities nor powers nor angels nor demons nor any of those things, nothing can separate you from the love of God, if he went on and said, but after all, most of you are not going to have to deal with that anyway, so. No, that's not why it's in there. It's in there because all of us are going to have to deal with those things. And when those times come, that's when we refer to that portion of Scripture and many others and say, God has said that will not separate me from His love, but it will make me more like Jesus Christ. You see, when we get our view of our life and our desires in tune with what God has determined to do, that is to make us like His Son, then even those difficult times we will treasure in the aftermath of them when it's all said and done, the dust settles, because we'll know that's another thing God did to shape me and mold me and make me more into His image. And if we really mean it when we say, I want to be more like Jesus, hey, look, that's the way it happens. Now, it happens through blessings too, right? And we're always glad for that. Many times we say, Lord, just let me have a whole train, several weeks of blessings to make me like Jesus. That's what I would like to have. God does that. But let's face it, Jesus' life on earth was one of pain, sorrow, disappointment, opposition, and so forth. Why would we think we should have a cakewalk as His followers? Why? A disciple's not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. If they've called the master of the house Beelzebub, what do you think they're going to do to the household? So we've got to realize that those things that go on are indeed ordained to make us like Jesus. D.L. Moody, the great preacher, said one time, God never uses a man greatly until he has first hurt him deeply. Now that's not 100% of the time, but he's on to something there. Some of the people that God uses in the greatest ways are the ones that He has put things in their life to hurt them the most. I mentioned that even last week. Talked about David Brainerd as one example of that. Jim Elliot as a martyr. I mean, the list goes on and on. Now, we may not face anything that extreme, but count on it. Anything that God puts in my life and yours that's painful at the time, difficult for us to bear, makes us question what God's doing. All those kind of things, they are still coming from hands of love, folks. They're coming from one who says, I love my children so much that I want them to so reflect my son that there can be no doubt among those who rub shoulders with them who they belong to. See? There can be no doubt whose they are. They're mine. And so that's why we need to be thankful for all things and in all things, looking for that which we can thank God for, even in the most difficult times. All right. So, the subject then is giving thanks. The season is always. The scope of it is all things. And then lastly, he says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our thanksgiving must be in the name of Jesus unto God the Father. Now, it's talking about more than the way we end our prayers. That's important. We're trying to help teach William when we're around him. He's doing good about saying prayers. He's doing good about that. He's blessing his food and saying prayers at bedtime. He's doing good, but he's still saying, thank you, God, for our food. Amen. You know, and again, he's four. But we've been trying to help him more and more understand. Listen, William, you need to say in Jesus' name at the end of the prayer. And I explained that to him a little bit last time I got to be around him a little bit. And I said, John 14:6, I put it down on his level. I said, Jesus said, nobody can get their prayer heard by the Father unless they come through me. Nobody can go to God the Father except they come through God the Son. And that's why we end our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. And we need to do that. We must do that. We have no assurance of a prayer being heard if we don't offer it in the name of Jesus, but it goes much deeper than that for adults. Giving thanks always for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus unto God the Father means that we are praying according to the character, the attributes, the characteristics, the revelation of who and what Jesus is in the Bible. We pray according to that. If we don't pray according to that and pray contrary to who and what Jesus is as He's revealed in the Scripture, then that's not a scriptural prayer, you see. So what I'm saying is, while I need to keep working with William, and Jolene and I both do, about saying in Jesus' name, we need to see the bigger picture there is if we're not praying according to the name of Christ. Because the name of Christ is what He is, right? God's name is what He is. That's why there's so many different names in the Old Testament to which Jehovah is referred to. Because they all reveal an aspect of His character, of His attributes, as they're called, His being. And so when we pray in Jesus' name, we better make sure we're thinking of who and what Jesus is. Now, John 14, 13, and 14, Jesus gave a wonderful, no holds barred, no limits promise. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And then, lest we missed it, he repeated himself. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, when we think about that statement, we've got to realize Jesus means more than simply ending our prayer in Jesus' name by that, doesn't he? He's not saying, if you'll just tack those words on the end, I'll do whatever you ask. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, you pray according to my name, which is the same as myself, my being, my character, as I'm revealed in the Scripture. You pray according to that, and then I will do what you ask. Now, that's something else for us to get into another time, too. Well, then how come we don't get prayers answered sometime? That's too far of a road to get into tonight, okay? But we will. We will at some other time as the Lord leads. But understand that to pray and give thanks in the name of Jesus carries great responsibility for us to be praying according to the will of God. Isn't that what Paul said? Verse 17, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. See, it's all together here. The will of the Lord in our giving thanks. The will of the Lord in our praying. The willing of the Lord in how we give thanks. It's all wrapped up together. And so the sum of it has to be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. I'll give us one more verse here before we go to our prayer time. Hebrews 13, 15. Paul says, by him, that's Jesus, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Here it comes. Giving thanks to his name. You can't separate the name of Jesus from Jesus. Now, our names identify us, right? And that's about all. If you didn't know me from anybody, and I came walking in here one time and introduced myself to everybody, and I said, I'm Sammy Burns, then you would say, okay, we know what his name is. We don't know anything else about him. Not based on that, right? Because the name for a person is just our designation. But if you've had the opportunity, like you had for about 20 years, to be around this guy some, then you can begin to say, I kind of know more about him than just his name. And see, God's purpose is that we understand that to know his name is to know him. You can't separate the two. So God's names are not simply a designation for him. They reveal who and what he is, and that's certainly true of Jesus. So when we pray in the name of Jesus to give thanks to God the Father, we have to keep that in mind. If we do, then we can know for sure that we have a hearing before the Lord. Giving thanks always in all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what I'd like to do before we go to prayer time here is I'm going to give you an opportunity, if you'd like to voice any kind of praise or thanksgiving tonight, as we're here together right before the holiday day comes. We'd love for you to do that, love to hear it. So no pressure, but if you'd like to just say, I'm thankful to the Lord for, and fill in the blank, be glad for you to do that.
I'm thankful to the Lord for my salvation.
Amen. Amen. We all better say that if we know we have it, right? That's right. Amen. Amen. Yes. Sometimes we don't realize how blessed we are here at Georgetown, folks, when you think about all the churches that are split in four or five different ways and just all kinds of mess going on. We're greatly blessed. Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes. received through the years, but then to be received with Pastor and wife has just been such a blessing and encouragement and joy. And I just kind of sit there in the desk a lot of mornings and think, what am I doing here? How did I wind up here? Sammy Burns of all people. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful for a godly wife, a great helpmate, and what I consider to be the model pastor's wife. But that with no hesitation. And a great mother and a great man too. Yes. Two more boys that will be arriving in the spring, so Lord willing, so we're thankful for that, yes. Thankful to have the freedom, not only just to be here in church, but I don't take that for granted, to worship together, but to have the freedom to stand on the truth in a very outward way at church, as the history and reputation of this church is. There's nobody that knows anything about Georgetown that would say, I wonder what kind of fire is coming tonight. They know this church is solid, established on the truth of God, unwavering. And that's rare nowadays. That's rare. And because of that, we have been able, y'all have, and now we are part, to minister to so many people through the years. Many times when we came down here to the conference, we were as beat up and bloodied and nipped at as we could be from where we were going through, and this was just an oasis every time. We just came back having been loved on and encouraged and preached to and just exhorted to go on with the work. And we just have a little more of a step in our walk after we were down here each and every time. There's not a time that didn't happen. I'm not just saying that. That's the truth. God is blessed. He gets all the praise and the glory, but we have much to be thankful for, and have a reputation as well, too, of the Georgetown Baptist Church. God is honored that. All right. Anyone else?
I'm thankful that we're blessed to work on the community.
apostles as they testified that they took note of them, that they had been with Jesus. Lord, help the world take note of us, not for our own sake, but for your sake. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for dealing lightly with eternal things. Forgive us for taking for granted your great grace and kindness. For taking no thought to your protection and provision for us each and every day. Forgive us for giving our hearts over to things, to stuff, and to other people rather than to you. Forgive us most of all for honoring ourselves, exalting ourselves. Father, help us, humble us, break us of ourselves, and mold us and make us into what is your will. Lord, take the idols from our hearts and dash them to pieces. We pray that we would seek Christ and see Him in Him only each and every day. Thank you for each one here, Lord, and the ones who are not with us tonight but are part of our church family. And we pray in these coming days that you will bless us, those who do have the opportunity to gather with family and friends, Lord, and celebrate and share a meal together and fellowship together. We pray your blessings on that, of course. We ask, though, that among all the things that go on, the meal and the fellowshipping time and whatever else takes place, we pray that Christ would be preeminent. And pray that our conversation would be directed and find its way sometime during these days, Lord, to speak of you before others. Lord, to defer all goodness to you, to give you credit